The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Rockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Yes, Billy, it does sound a lot like Candlebox. And far behind, I imagine, is the Song of the Dems here in the state of Colorado, because they are far behind. If you look at any poll out there, it's got to give them the shivers. But that doesn't mean that it's all going to turn out peaches and cream for the GOP in the state of Colorado in November. We got to have some conversations with the smart people who are on the ground working this on one side of the political aisle, and that is Christy Burton Brown, who is on the phone with us, the chair of the Colorado GOP, and in studio, the vice chair. Is it vice chair, deputy chair,
vice
czar chair?
Vice chairman.
Vice chair Priscilla Ron. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Now, listen, it's been a while since we talked. We talked the Monday after the April 9th State Assembly. Since then, it's been sleepy time. Nothing has been going on anywhere ever. Why is that? No, I'm kidding. KBB, what are the updates for folks listening? And we've talked about some of them here, but what are the biggest things going on that could have an impact on June, which is the primary, and then again in November?
Yeah, George, I mean, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of things that can have an impact. I mean, one is we have primaries coming up, so making sure that no matter who wins in some of those big races, that Republicans and conservatives stay engaged and really take it all the way to November to defeat the Democrats, who are really the ones who have caused a lot of this destruction of industries and unsafe communities and all those other things we talk about in our state. And then, George, I think you see poll numbers continue to drop for Democrats across the nation. I mean, a congressional poll recently showed that by like 7 points, average Americans prefer Republicans to be elected to Congress this year instead of Democrats. And, you know, that's not even talking about inflation and crime and the absolute disaster the fentanyl bill has been in the legislature. And then the other bills that this final week of session they're trying to slam through, like collective bargaining, which would cost between $400 and $600 million to counties across the state, the largest unfunded mandate ever in Colorado. So there's so many things I think that could affect, you know, people's desire to get engaged, get involved, because they're just so mad at everything that's being forced on them here in Colorado.
What about the idea, and Priscilla, that they're also being, I guess, tactically smart by saying, let's accelerate those Tabor refunds that we fought to keep from you and me, and let's accelerate them so that the checks show up just about the time that the ballots go in the mail. Is that going to have an impact that is going to be beneficial to them? Are people going to see through it? I worry.
No, that's a fair question as well. And that's something that we're watching. We're watching every strategy that the left is doing to try to deceive and buy votes from the public. It's just so insincere and disingenuous. And they're a walking contradiction. They're taking Republican talking points and our platform and using it. But they're not. They're fake conservatives. It's not. All you have to do is look at their track record. Go back and look at the bills and the laws that they've passed and the tax increases that the governor has signed into law. But who has time to do that, right? A lot of people are working. And so it's our responsibility for our candidates to talk about these issues. These are things that we share on social media, that we talk about on your show, to make sure that the public is informed, because right now the left is trying to bamboozle Coloradans, and we deserve better leadership.
Do you guys keep tabs on how the fundraising for candidates is going, maybe even the party, versus the folks on the other side of the political aisle? Like, KBB, when you look at what our state party has done versus the Democrat state party or the gubernatorial candidates that we have, I guess that's a horrible example because Polis has $23 trillion that he can dump into it. How about Secretary of State? If you look at Jenna Griswold, for instance, she raised over $800,000 in a quarter. The professor raised $400,000+ in a quarter. Do you look at those things, compare them to what the Republican candidates are doing, and think to yourself, good, bad, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, George, we do look at that stuff. And I think there's a couple points about it. First of all, I mean, we need more people to donate to Republicans, honestly, if you want to see Republicans get elected this November. I think another two other things. The Democrats constantly outraise Republicans in Colorado. That's historical. We still beat them, even when they outraise us 2-1 and 3-1. So it's more about keeping a good, you know, a good range between the two rather than the goal always being to beat them. I mean, when I'm talking to candidates, I talk to them about, you know, get out there and fundraise. Got to find more sources of money. Like, it's, you know, politics does involve money, and it's very important to get as much of it as you can. But I think the other thing we see when we look at those reports, George, is the burn rate of the Democrats.
Yeah.
They spend so much every quarter. I mean, which is normal. I mean, Democrats spend a lot in government because of all the layers of bureaucracy.
Right.
It's not a shock that they'd be doing the same in their campaign.
Priscilla, we had a huge leak. Unprecedented historic leak out of the Supreme Court, and it was regarding an opinion on the Mississippi law about banning abortion after such a period of time and all this. And it appears based on a draft penned by Justice Samuel Alito that it is going to overturn both Roe and Casey. Is that going to have an impact on the primaries between Republicans? Is it going to have an impact in the general election? And if so, how?
I don't think so. It's not a surprise that Republicans are pro-life. This is not new news. And if anybody understands how this works, it's just a decision to allow abortion to be a states' rights issue, which we know in Colorado, the Democrats passed the most extreme abortion laws in the country. And
you can abort a baby in the 12th trimester, I think, which is when they're three.
It's really unfortunate. And, you know, the rhetoric is that we as conservatives don't care about the life after it's born. And nothing could be further from the truth. When you look at religious private organizations that flood all kinds of money into supporting moms and incentivizing them with, you know, diapers and formula and health care, like, we care about the comprehensive situation around the unborn. And I will say, as a Black woman in America, when I look at the data and the genocide of unborn Black babies and where Planned Parenthood is placed 80% in Black and Latino neighborhoods.
Oh, my gosh.
20 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade, which is more than the population of 1960. I think it's targeted. I think it's wrong. It goes beyond just my religious beliefs. It goes into civil rights and humanitarian action. And I think it's something that it has. This is the most pro-life generation. These young people who have seen pictures of their brothers and sisters in the womb have an acknowledgement that it's a life. And so I don't think it's going to hurt Republicans, especially we have so much time between now and November. I think we're actually going to gain more sympathy in the public, to be honest.
Can I ask for one clarification on the number you said, 20 million abortions, and then you said something about more than the population, 19. What were you talking
black
about?
Black babies.
And so 20 million black babies, and that's more than the population of what?
1960 of black Americans in America.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I was like 20 million population, but thank you for clearing that up. We're talking with Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron from the state GOP party. KBB, more than it won't have a negative impact, is this the kind of thing, though, that Republicans should be championing? As if to say, listen, this is what happens when you elect a Republican president and a Republican Senate. You can actually get originalist justices on there who will make decisions like the one that Justice Alito seems to append. Should we be out there campaigning on this as opposed to minimizing its impact?
You know, George, I think here in Colorado, one of the biggest things that people are going to like is the fact that, yes, electing a Republican president returns like democracy to the people. Instead of allowing nine unelected judges to make decisions for everyone, this decision would allow the people of every state to have an honest debate about this issue. And I don't think we've had a lot of honest debates here in Colorado over the issue because the other side, you know, will dump in millions of dollars to lie to people. And so I think just the return, like some people want in Colorado, they want a return to discussion among the people. They want reasonable policy. They want balance back in their government. And so I think that's an angle that's really important here in Colorado, and a fact that Republican presidents and Republican governors often bring I think, too, George, if we look back in history in Colorado, what happened the last time Democrats thought that abortion was the issue of the election? That was the Udall-Gardner Senate race.
Yep.
And Mark Udall thought abortion was the issue. And Cory Gardner was over there talking about real solutions for real families. And who won the race? Not the guy talking about abortion all the time, but the guy talking about real solutions. And so we know Colorado voters are focused on crime. They're focused on inflation. The Democrats have failed them. So I think the more the Democrats say the issue of the year is abortion, I think they're doing a last-ditch effort to try and distract people away from their awful policies. We can't let them do that.
It does feel like it still has the potential to be a wedge issue. I agree with you, and I agree with Priscilla. Look, all we've done is to return this to the states. This thing will be packaged as something different. And so, you'll get the big talking head interviewers from the big stations asking what, like they did with Greg Lopez, do you believe that government ought to exercise dominion over women's bodies and all this other stuff? And it becomes this wedge issue to try to get between us and the unaffiliated and moms who right now are saying, holy smokes, I don't even feel like my kids are getting either a great education or they're getting indoctrinated. And oh my God, we don't want to go to Denver anymore because we just hate stepping over needles, feces, bums, and crime. And all of a sudden this becomes a different kind of wedge issue. Priscilla, do you think that that has traction, or do you think that, no, we have a good response to that, or how do we approach that?
We just need to have a sensible, very caring response to the meltdown that we're seeing from the left. I'm seeing ridiculous comments, even from Democrat legislators who are saying, well, next it's going to be the Republicans are going to get rid of gay marriage and get rid of interracial marriage, and just ridiculous narratives. They're pathological. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. And common sense people are listening to this and saying, you've got to be out of your mind. But the good thing is, I think people are going back to the Constitution and actually reading it, because this is going to be, I believe, the most educated voting election that we've had in a very, very long time, because it's forcing people to say what actually is happening, because there's no transparency, and you can't get transparency in government if they're not being honest with us as we the people. So it's going to be our responsibility to learn the truth ourselves.
You bring up a really good point, KBB, before I get to you. She brings up a good point, and that is that the Constitution is actually written down. It turns out you can read it and see the words. I mean, it's not just something that people talk about. You could probably Google it and find it. Sorry, KBB.
No, that's such a great point. I'm glad that more people are realizing that it's actually accessible to everyone. I agree with what Priscilla said, and I think what we have to do is stop letting the media and the Democrats define this and act like this is some, they just want to go into rhetoric instead of reality. And I think the reality here in Colorado is that they have passed the most extreme abortion law in the nation this session. That's what Jared Polis just signed into law. And legitimately, the law in Colorado not only allows late-term abortion until the moment of birth, it would allow, if a baby survived an abortion, for them to have their life ended in the hospital after birth. That is what the Colorado law allows that the Democrats just signed. And so I think when they say, oh, well, what do you want to do here in Colorado? No, we're not talking about hypotheticals. We are talking about the reality of the law in Colorado that your party just passed. And it allows for things that are so beyond extreme that the average person does not support. And their next step would be taxpayer funding of abortion, which is hugely unpopular. And so I think we have to define the conversation and talk about what's actually real in Colorado, not their heightened levels of rhetoric.
Is it something that we campaign on as a favorable? I mean, do we push this? Is this the kind of thing where candidates should be going out there and saying, what an awesome thing we have done here through the election process to put senators and a president in place to do this? Or is it just a topic that we message?
I think when we get into the weeds, and I mean, all three of us here, like, and a lot of your listeners know very well that is a great thing when we elect senators and a president who are willing to support the people and not unelected bureaucrats or unelected judges. But I think that kind of gets into the weeds when we're talking to the swing voters, when we're talking about the people we have to reach. I think it's very clear that in Colorado, swing voters are concerned about inflation and crime. And our commitment to Colorado is something we can deliver on as a party. We can make Colorado more affordable. We can prioritize public safety and expand educational options and return those rights to parents. That's what we should be talking about and focusing on in the swing districts among swing voters. Talk about what people are thinking about every day and what they want to see solutions on. That's what I think Listen, you know, Republicans have to go out there.
I have more to ask you about, but we're running up on the end of this first segment. Can you stay on? And Priscilla, can you stay on? And here, I'm not going to get you fired from your school job and all that stuff. I know starting on time is very, very important.
We're good.
Okay, listen, we're talking with Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron. I want to tease you, though, with some of these topics. One, I want to ask you about, and I know that you can't take sides in a Republican primary, but I do want to ask you a little bit about what happens when there's a candidate who will remain nameless who may be under indictment, how that has a potential to bleed into the other races, if you think it will at all. And then I want to ask about the Neuschwanger effect. And no, not the one where she dodges the radio anymore to answer the real questions, but the other things that she has brought up about what took place back on April the 9th. I will ask you guys both. You were both witnesses to it. I'll ask you both about that, as well as her move to the American Constitution Party when we come back. Until that time, you're listening to George Brockler. Let me just tell you, I was going to cut away, but I don't want to do that. I do want to tell you, Billy says, thank you. I got to tell you about our friends at Step Denver. We've been talking about, in fact, Priscilla is the one that brought it up. We do care about the afterbirth life more so and more legitimately, more humanely, and more effectively than the other side. And let me give you a reason why, an example. Step Denver. These folks up there in Denver are tackling for men the troubles related to addiction and homelessness. And when I say troubles, that's being very gentle. But if you're looking for some way to be a problem solver, to have a hand in the solution, and I will say this, save a life. No, nothing short of actually saving a human life by providing the kinds of resources that allow an organization that has been around for decades, an organization that does not take government money, and who doesn't celebrate that, and tries to put men in a position to take accountability, responsibility, to get clean, and at the end of the day, put themselves in a position to be functioning, contributing, positive, happy, tax-paying members of our society. So if you're wondering what to do, you've got a down payment for a car, but man, those rates have just gone up so much you don't want to spend it on that. You're going to get some more money. Or you're going to turn in an old truck, a car, an RV, a boat. We have one. It's only worth, I don't know, like 500-ish bucks. But when that thing is ready to go, when I'm done teaching my kid to drive on it, I'm going to take that thing to Step Denver. That one vehicle donated allows one man the opportunity to put in the hard work to recover and rebuild his life. So I want you to call them for that free tow. Hassle-free, 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020, or you can visit them at stepdenver.org, stepdenver.org. We're going to return with Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron right after this. George Brockler, 710, KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, being joined once again by Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron of the state GOP party. Christy, the chair, Priscilla, the vice chair. Happy to have them in studio. What I should have said, at least I've got Priscilla in studio. I have Christy in studio through the microphone. What I should have asked you if you would do, and I know you'll say yes, so I'm just going to put it out there. If you have questions, stump the GOP leadership. Give us a call at 303-696-1971, and I think they'll answer questions. Is that true? Is that fair?
Yes.
Priscilla's nodding, but totally. Sort of with that, what am I going to ask? Is it math? No, it's not. No math questions, unless it's how to count the votes. Thank you for staying with us. I had teased wanting to ask this question, and that is, I know you cannot take sides in a primary, although there has been information already put out on the Tina Peters thing, but you know, she got 60% of the vote. A guy named O'Donnell got the other 40% in that two-person assembly appearance there. Pam Anderson petitioned onto the ballot, so she'll be there for the primary on June 28th, but she did not go through the assembly. Is there a concern that somebody who has that kind of issue going on, and this is still presumed innocent, I'm not finding her guilty of anything, nobody would, but does that raise a concern for you, Christy, about the potential impact on other parts of the ballot? Or is this like, no, it'll be just limited to her?
You know, George, I think it's a good question. A lot of people are asking it. And I think, you know, we are the party of law and order as Republicans. We support law enforcement. We want to crack down on crime. We have real solutions for safe neighborhoods. And I think it's always ideal if every candidate who's running at the top of our ballot and all the way down to the legislative candidates actually represent that in their own lives. And so I do think that's something voters need to ask themselves. Are we choosing candidates in primaries to prove that Republicans really are the party of law and order? I think that's a legit question a lot of people are going to ask themselves. And, you know, I think, yes, there were just over 3,700 people who voted at the assembly. There are nearly a million Republicans in the state. So I think what those Republicans will do on the primary ballot, you know, what happens at assembly isn't necessarily reflective of that. It can be sometimes, but it definitely is not always.
I appreciate the gentle nature in which you describe it as it would be ideal if our candidates were not under indictment for felonies at the time that they ran for office. I agree with you. I do think it would be ideal. When you're out there around the state, as you do, Priscilla, going around and sending the message to everybody about participating, do you get questions about that? Do people talk about it? Or have we looked past it? And there's going to be a part of the electorate out there, I've heard from them, who are like, this is no big deal. She's wrongfully accused. I mean, hell, we had Greg Lopez at the assembly say, and I know it wasn't in exactly these terms, and he came in here to describe that it was much more conditional, like if she was wrong. But, hey, I'd pardon her, and there was a lot of Are you hearing this as a talk topic, or have people moved right past this?
A lot of the people that I talk to who are more involved in party politics, a lot of them have already, you know, made up their mind and have gotten behind the candidate of their choice. So right now, it's up to the candidates to reach the Republicans who are not as active and to unaffiliated, who are not as active, to make their case about why they deserve, you know, someone's vote. But I think when you talk to Republicans, like Christie said, they're very concerned about election integrity. And that's a broad statement about where that falls as far as importance and priority for specific voters. So I don't have a crystal ball to know where we're going to land with that particular race. So I think it's just an open field for all three candidates to try to get votes by June.
Now that brings us to another potential impact from a candidate who used to be a Republican, and in fact was so Republican that she went to the assembly, which is the grassroots, the hardcores, as you know, and stood before them and said, I want to be the Republican nominee for governor. Vote for me. And then she just missed the ballot. She didn't get crushed, right? I mean, in a legitimate three-way, there were 800 people running for governor at the time, but three real super strong legitimate candidates, and she got 27% of the vote. That's a near miss, and yet a miss. Her name is Danielle Neuschwanger. And then just a couple weeks later, I'm going to call it last week, according to a guy named Doug Aden. He is an American Constitution Party chairman. He's the KBB of the ACP. That could be its own sort of rap. KBB of the ACP, you and me anyway. So he he came on the radio. A lot of people think I shouldn't be on the radio. I should be doing something else, and they're right. But he came into on the radio earlier this week, and he said that at 5:38-ish, I think it was last week on this day, he received an email from Danielle Neuschwanger that contained screenshot or paperwork or a form or something where she had indicated to the Secretary of State she would be a member of the American Constitution Party. And I think for purposes of being their nominee, later that night, and by later that night, I mean about an hour later, she appeared at a guy named Aaron Woods event. And I think it's called like Fathers of Freedom or Freedom Fathers, or it has a bunch of F's in it. And she stood up there, had that on video, and she announced that she was still a Republican. And you know what? Don't listen to me. Listen to this.
Danielle in the state. I'm going to give you a little teaser. I am still a registered Republican. I am still an announced candidate for governor.
Yeah, that was a week ago this evening after she had sent a thing to Doug Aden saying she had switched to the American Constitution Party. And she had said before that she had accepted the nomination. Nonetheless, Saturday, officially, I guess, she became, on the claims that there was a vacancy, we don't know if that's accurate yet, we're looking into that, but she is now the American Constitution Party nominee. She has taken to social media to decry now the party that she once wanted to have the nomination for, now referring to the Dems and Republicans as the Uniparty. This is a month before this, she was out there saying, and anyway, she's on the American Constitution Party ticket for the moment. Is this going to have a negative impact on our prospects, and by our, I mean the GOP's prospects, for taking back the governor's office in this election, Christy Burton Brown?
You know, honestly, George, I am not concerned about it. I think, you know, there's always third-party candidates who run, some who are liberal, some who are conservative, some who in the world knows what their views are. We see that every year in all the big races, president, governor, Senate. I mean, this is just one more of those. Really not concerned about it. I think, you know, what I am really focused on and the videos that I'm watching on Facebook, on the news, are Heidi Gonnall and Greg Lopez, our two candidates for Republican governor. I think those are the people, one of those two, that Republicans are going to unite behind in June. And it's going to be a race between that person and Jared Polis, just like it, you know, historically always is in Colorado. I know some people bring up the issue of Tom Tancredo. Like, no one else is Tom Tancredo. That was a very unique scenario.
But and I agree with you. There's always third-party candidates, and there's always a ton of them. And I'm always shocked when I open up my ballot how many people are running for governor.
Yes.
This one is a bit different in this way. This is a kind of social media prolific person who got almost 30% of the vote at the Republican Assembly. Now, it looks more and more like the American Constitution Party is willing to become the island of misfit toys politically, because not only did they take Danielle, who was, by all accounts, rejected by the party to be on the ballot, but then Daryl Gibbs, who also stood up and said, I would also like to be the Republican nominee, and sang the song. And then all of a sudden, when he too got rejected, is now more than happy to decry the party system as the uniparty and be the lieutenant governor candidate. So this is a little different. Yeah. This is a little different than what we normally see.
I mean, it's slightly different in where they came from. But I think you look at the assembly, again, we're talking about just over 3,700 votes total, 27% of that for Danielle, 4% of that for Daryl, I believe. Again, compare that to about a million Republicans in the state and some unaffiliated voters who vote in primary. Just because someone goes through assembly and at one point wants to run for Republican, and then they decide, no, they just want to run for governor, no matter who they're running for. I think I've seen a lot of people actually really react to that and say, it's important to be a graceful loser. I have had to do that in my life. I have lost things I've worked on. And we all have to learn that lesson. And people who are involved at the assembly, people who care about defeating Jared Polis, actually don't like this kind of behavior. So maybe it's a little different, but I think it's actually worse. And that's the reaction I'm seeing from people across the state. They think this is worse because you once ran as a Republican, not you, but because someone once ran as a Republican, and now they're suddenly, within a matter of days, flipping just because they think they're the person. That's not the attitude we need to go defeat Jared Polis, and people are seeing that.
And not just switch parties, but to crap talk the party they just sought the mantle for, which is crazy. Priscilla, when you look at this and you see outside of this, this is an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle because as much as we think Jared Polis has done a horrible job running the ship, his poll numbers aren't horrible. He's not hated, even though there's every reason to think that he should be, crime rate, economy, all this other stuff. But he's not hated, and he's sitting on Daddy Warbucks-like money. This was already going to be an uphill battle. Does something like this show up when you're out there on the campaign trail, people talking about, hey, if Heidi or Greg are going to pull this off, it's not going to be by 10 or 20 points. Like, we can't throw away the couple points that a new Schwanger might get.
Yeah, we definitely, excuse me, we can't win by subtraction, but everyone that I'm speaking to are very dedicated to the Republican Party and our candidates who are working really hard. And just, you know, if I take my vice chairman hat off and I'm just an everyday person, I go to work as a teacher.
Hard to imagine.
When I look at candidates, I do care about character. I do care about integrity and trust. And when a candidate shows me that I can't trust them, and when I hear your guest who came on, the chairman of the Constitution Party, say, I vetted her and asked her if she would be committed to our party, and I'm paraphrasing that, he felt confident that Danielle was going to be committed to their party. I thought, well, you really believe that because she turned our back on us.
Yeah.
You know, when I see someone turn their back for reasons that I believe are very egotistical and self-serving, I don't support that type of behavior. And then it makes me concerned about, how would you legislate? How would you govern? How can I trust if there's no stability there? in your character if you're upset about something, everything's a fraud. You know, your accusation is it's somebody else's fault. That's not what I look for in a candidate. And once again, that's just me talking as an everyday person. Yeah. And that's what I'm hearing from Republicans who are paying attention to what happened. They're not happy with that type of behavior.
Christy, along those lines, you know, one of the things that purportedly drove her to want to leave the party, which I think was really just opportunism, but one of the things she said, and she said it publicly, it's on a video, is that she has an audio recording of an employee of the company that manufactured or distributed those handheld devices we used at the assembly, and that somebody ordered them, I presume from the party, specifically for the purposes of rigging the election. Do you know anything about that? Is there any truth to that? Is there any chance Joe Jackson just got himself super tipsy on the booze and called up and said, we are regular?
Absolutely not, George. I mean, I promised, you know, since the time I was running for chairman that this state party would be fair to all candidates, that we would give everyone an equal opportunity to be chosen by the people. That's what we've done. We've proven that over and over. And I think, you know, the people at the assembly let their voice be heard. They selected their candidates. And I mean, I get to cast a vote at the assembly, and I don't make my votes public. But let's just say I think it's pretty obvious that, especially because in multiple races, multiple people made the ballot. Clearly, it wasn't only my choices making the ballot. So this has nothing to do with like a rigged system or anything like that. And I think, George, we know in the modern world, it's really easy to make any kind of digital recording you want to make.
Yeah, that's right.
And claim that it's anything you want to claim it can be. So absolutely not. There's nothing like that that's legitimate that exists.
Are you aware of any sort of, she said she's turned over a bunch of stuff to the Secretary of State's office and that she was going to see you in court and see you hung by a petard, or I can't remember the word she used, but something like that. Has anything about that happened?
No, definitely not, George.
Have you heard anything from the Secretary of State's office? Like, we've just got some explosive information from Danielle Ann, and we're looking into something.
No, but they do ask questions. Like, there's been other people or other organizations that they've looked into, and they'll ask us to respond to questions and things like that as the state party. So they certainly do contact us when they need information from us or there's some issue that comes up. And no, we've not heard a word from them about this. The Secretary of State, would not find any random accusation to be credible. That's certainly not what they deal in. And just like you can make any recording under the sun you want, you can make any accusation under the sun
that
you
part
want.
Is true.
And just because people accuse or claim they have a recording doesn't make it legitimate. So nothing legitimate exists on that, George.
No service of a lawsuit, no notice of an intent to sue, nothing that you're aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. And as you know, you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. People can sue over anything they want too. So, you know, I have no idea what people's future plans are on filing lawsuits or not filing lawsuits, but that's certainly a very common thing in politics. People file lawsuits about everything all the time. So who knows what people's future plans are. But I think we know the facts. We know the reality. We know what really happened at the assembly. It was fair to all candidates. Every single candidate got a chance to review the system ahead of time. And, you know, even Tina Peters, let's bring her up because everyone brings her up for election integrity, was okay with the system we used and told me in an email.
That's amazing.
Great.
That in and of itself is amazing.
Yeah. Agreed.
We're going to have you guys back in here, I think, towards the end of this month. But Priscilla, before we go, any last thoughts as we head into this? Like, what should people be focusing on? What do you see brewing out there?
People should be focusing on donating and supporting Republican candidates who are loyal to the party. And I know people don't like that phrase, loyal to the party, but we're all declared Republicans for a reason, because we want to get Republicans elected. And that means vetting them and holding them accountable when they are elected. And that's our job. I think that we, the people, have a strong voice. And so that's what I'm encouraging and focusing people to do.
KBB, any last words before we send you guys back to do the hard work you're doing?
Yeah, I love how Priscilla said that. And I think there are so many candidate options this year. And every single seat, we're either going to have a Democrat or we're going to have a Republican. So go out there, find the Republicans you can believe in, the ones that you can back. So many countless ones need your help across the state. So agree with that. If there's a race you're not interested in, fine, go find one you are interested in. There is room for everyone. Got to be involved with money, with time, and get this done to restore our state to everything it can be again.
I want to throw out a happy Mother's Day to you both. And I'm going to use this to segue into something that we're doing here on behalf of Beauvisage. Have either of you ever gone to Beauvisage?
I haven't.
No.
Okay, now let me recommend this to you. And they're in Greenwood Village, and I think they have another office maybe closer to Lakewood. I've never been there. Now, they do things like massages and facials and I think the pedicure and the man, all this other stuff. They have all these, but they have a Mother's Day special. And I commend it to your husbands and anyone that wants to take care of that special mom in their life. I went ahead and subjected myself to the horrors of it. As a guy, I went in there. I got the facial. I don't want to say it was wonderful, but I did fall asleep in the middle of it. It was so ridiculously relaxing. And I came out looking like I was in my early 50s. No, I'm kidding. I came out looking and feeling. I mean, my skin, even to this day, has been many days later, much smoother. I honest to God,
smoother. I'm looking at you right now.
We had the in-studio verification for this. And they spent a long time on my forehead. I can't do anything about the whiskers, but they spent a long time doing that. It was great. I gave a certificate that we did to my sister, who's also a mother of two fantastic daughters. And her report back to me about the massage was it was the best dang massage she'd ever had. And she would gladly go to Greenwood Village, even though they live much closer to the other office, because it was so awesome. And so I'm encouraging you to do something more than the typical, which is, and the typical is nothing wrong with it. Flowers, dinner. I'm sure the kids will do breakfast in bed for mom, for us. But Beauvisage Skincare and Spa, that's the place to go. So here's what you do. Call them at 303-779-5002, 303-779-5002, or visit them at BVSPA, Bravo Victor Sierra Papa Alpha.com. Priscilla, KBB, I hope you get that. I'm saying, I'm just planting the seeds. Have your have your husbands listen to the podcast. This is the ticket towards rest and relaxation and beauty, frankly, right here.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll come back and wrap up this hour before we head into the 8 o'clock with some other news. Until that time, you're listening to George Brockwood right here, 710 KNUS. With you here at 710 KNUS, just a couple minutes before we punch out here. At the top of the hour, planning on having former Denver District Attorney Mitch Morrissey on. Just trying to confirm some information that we had received. I want to get confirmation before we go down that road, but it'll be a nice interview. It'll be fantastic information about a fantastic human being. I just don't want to go there yet. My great thanks to Christy Burton Brown and to Priscilla Ron for coming into the studio. I know KBB's running around doing a million things as well, but for coming on for a couple segments and talking to us not only about what the GOP's doing to try to put themselves in a position to take back control of at least some portions of the state and really important ones in terms of government, but also being willing to answer questions and whether those questions are about Tina Peters. And I've gotten some texts here. You know what? I just forgot to. We have got to get on the phone here. Amy Duncan from Alpine. Amy, please forgive me. I've just been running at the mouth.
No, you're fine, George.
No, I was just droning on and on.
I was just taking a breath here.
so sorry. You're like, that dude doesn't talk. Go ahead. I'm so sorry, Amy.
Excuse me. All right. We'll hit the numbers here for you, sir. We're getting the kind of after rally sell-off this morning. So currently the Dow's off about 399 points. S&P down 65. NASDAQ off almost 300. I'll tell you, these numbers would feel a lot worse if we hadn't experienced yesterday's huge day on Wall Street. A little recap there. The Dow Jones was up 2.8%,
wow.
930 points. Yeah, the S&P rose 2.99% on Wednesday, 120 points. And the NASDAQ was up over 3%, over 400 points. Both Tesla and Apple were up over 4% on Wednesday. And you know, I think a lot of this was just market expectations coming to fruition. The Federal Reserve announced in their meeting that they increased short-term interest rates by 50 basis points or 0.5%. That's the biggest increase since 2000. And I think, you know, the ups that we saw yesterday are great, but then you take a day like today and the ride gets a lot rockier. And
yeah.
So
Thank you.
You know, it's when traders are emotional and when we've got algorithmic trading coming into play, it can be a go ahead.
Will you forgive me? I have screwed us out of the time we need to continue. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust. They're prepared to earn yours. 303-843-0918. Amy, forgive me.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.